Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this chance to come back into your house once again, to be able to gather together and to open your word. It's such a precious thing. Help us to always stay hungry to do that. Help it to build us stronger and stronger as Christians and draw us in closer and closer to you and encourage us to use what we learn and what we can do to help you. It's such an awesome thing. Help us to be encouraged in that and to share that with others so they also can have that to look forward to be one of yours and be able to be looking forward to so much you have planned for us for eternity. We thank you so much for all that. Let everything that we do tonight bring honor and glory to you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. This morning we're speaking on the subject, God is calling. I'd like to continue that this evening. God is calling. He's calling out to all mankind, all that he's ever created, trying to kindle and to reestablish a relationship with man that he had put into place when he created Adam and Eve, and that got severed because of their disobedience, their sinful behavior, and yet right from the beginning he was calling them in, trying to pull them back in. And ever since then he's been calling out to man. As we studied and saw the history of some of those events where he'd call into mankind, such as the one with Jeremiah 31 verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." It's because he loves us and wants a relationship with us to rekindle, to reconciliate a relationship. He wants to bring us alive once again. When he created man, he breathed into him, gave him life, become a trinity, body, soul, and spirit. But when he failed, when he turned away, when Adam sinned, he lost that. He died spiritually. And ever since then, the Lord's been calling people to come back, to give them an opportunity to become alive again, to become born again spiritually, to once again be a trinity, body, soul, and spirit. When we come into this world, we're spiritually dead. He's calling out to us to come back and to be alive again spiritually. But yet there's so many out there that we've seen in history, and I'm sure you could make a list of folks that the Lord has called to, but yet they plug their ears. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to acknowledge their sins. They don't want to think that there's a time of accountability for our misbehavings. Even though they can see the signs, they can see the effects that it has on their own bodies and the people around them, but yet they deny that there is accountability. To be speaking of this subject, I have to go to Romans chapter 1, where I visit so often because it applies so well to mankind and their behavior. And in the world today, you see this expressed so strongly in their attitudes and behaviors and mindset. In Romans chapter 1, let's pick it up in verse 16 here. This written by Paul to the church at Rome, a message going out to them, and that was some 2,000 years ago. So the events that he speaks about 2,000 years ago, and yet you read this account and you think this must have been written just last week, because it is so current, the attitudes, the behaviors, the mindset. In Romans chapter 1 verse 16, words of Paul here, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That good news that Jesus Christ has come and give us an opportunity to be spiritually alive once again. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We have seen this played out in the history of the world, that it was revealed most spectacularly during the great flood. As he continues, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. That one verse right there is a very important one. Manifest means to be revealed. He has called out to them. He has revealed himself, his plan, his existence to all mankind. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. As we were speaking of earlier, how we see the evidence all over the entire planet of the worldwide flood, the judgment of God, his creation, how we see all of his majesty in this cursed world. And yet it's so beautiful still. You can only imagine how beautiful it was when Adam and Eve were in the garden. And the great cosmos, all of those planets out there, how they just cry out the existence of the Godhead, which means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All three are revealed in his creation all around us. So that, as he says, so that they are without excuse. No one is going to have the opportunity come judgment day to say, well, I didn't know about you because nobody gave me a Bible tract. Nobody told me the gospel. Nobody come visit my village. Nobody gave me a Bible. Nobody reached them. Well, he's told us, God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God has shown himself to all mankind. Before they leave this world, everybody will be given an opportunity for salvation, whether we have a part to do with it or not, whether any other man has a part to do with it or not. The Lord's going to see that the work gets done, which we can really take comfort in that. I've heard people try to condemn and criticize folks for not being out there actively working in the fields because there's people going to hell and it's your fault that they're going to hell because you haven't reached them. No, it's their fault they're going to hell because they didn't reach back when the Lord was calling out to them. We're just given a blessed opportunity to be a part of the work. That should really be more encouraging. To know that you have an opportunity to be a part of the work of the power and the influence of the Holy Ghost on others. That should encourage us. And he's going to reward us now and for eternity for being a part of that. But don't be puffed up with pride and arrogance thinking that God needs you or has to have you in order to get the work done. I hate when I hear missionaries and other preachers and stuff talk about that. They'll get up and preach a whole sermon about, yeah, there's people going to hell in your neighborhood because you didn't go out and share the gospel. No, no, no. They're going to hell because they didn't respond when the Holy Ghost called them. But I say, you are missing out on a great blessing because you're not part of the work of the Holy Ghost. That should really be more encouraging than a guilt trip that somebody else might want to put on you in the other direction. As he continues, those out there that have not listened to that call are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they knew God. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They start bringing up other things, start imagining other, why is this call out to me? Who is this calling me? And they seek something else because they don't want to acknowledge God for who he is. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They start trying to explain the call and the desire to do good instead of evil, or the desire to respond to that call, and they start filling it up with something else because they don't want to let go of their lustful desires and their sinful behaviors. And they invent things in their imaginations, as it says there, such as billions of years of evolution and so forth that they spew out. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, those that have carved little carvings and worship animals or worship the planet. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Like, all right, y'all have at it, and that's what you want to do, just go ahead. I'll quit trying to draw you out of it. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When they start lifting up another person or an animal or the earth as being greater than God. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That, of course, is lesbianism. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Homosexuality. There's a movement now that is on the increase of this transgender thing, where they're changing their gender identity, as they say. They're mutilating their bodies to appear to be something that they are not. And now it's grown to where they're saying that there is no actual male or female. It's a society issue. It's a social issue. It's not a physical issue. It's what they have been trained and taught socially, and society has determined whether they are man or woman. It isn't the individual that has determined that. So they want to give the individual the choice to be able to change that and not let society put them in a cubbyhole saying, this is what you are because this is what you were born. It's the madness. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we see this foolishness on the increase in the world today. It's amazing. You scratch your head. What things that you, 20 years ago, you think that would never come about. And now they're doing it. It's commonplace and thinking, well, this is the new norm, as they call it. As we've studied and seen, it's an abomination. It makes God sick that they're that lustfully desiring to have this sexual lust fulfilled. Insanity. And then you see those that support that. Those that push it along. Those that, oh, leave them alone. They were born that way. Yeah, we're all born a bunch of filthy sinners. That don't mean we stay as a filthy sinner. You know, come out of that. Do what the Lord has set before us to do. If He created you man, you're a man. If He created you woman, you're a woman. There ain't no change in that. No matter how much the scientists try to do that, no matter how much they mutilate the people's bodies, no matter how many chemicals they put into them, no matter how many gene therapies they go through, they can change the appearance, but they cannot change the genetic makeup of that individual. The DNA is not going to change. The chromosomes are not going to change. They are born male or they are born female. That's all there is to it. To change that, you're going against what God's plan is. And see what happens to people that wind up like that. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. This reprobate mind, as we have said in the past, is a mind that the Lord is no longer calling to. That call has ended. It's over. The Holy Ghost will not call a person that is reprobate ever again. They are doomed for eternity in the lake of fire. But as I have cautioned you so many times, and as Paul cautioned you in chapter 2, is don't be thinking that you have the ability to be able to determine someone who is reprobate and who is not. That's for the Lord to do, not us. As he describes how they become, once he pulls out, once the Holy Ghost is no longer dealing with someone, once there is no goodness being drawn from them, drawn out by the power of the Holy Ghost, influenced by the Holy Ghost, we see how they become. In verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Someone that is reprobate. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and this is spiritual death and the eternity in the lake of fire, they are aware of that, but yet they have pulled away so much, that door closed. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They love it when they can get more people to come in. They love it when they can convince the world to accept their ungodly behavior as the new norm. As, oh, it's their body, let them do with it as they please. Oh, they were born that way, and so forth, that they spew out. But we have a calling. We have a calling from the Lord. Those of us that have heard that call from the shepherd, you may say, understand and recognize his voice. Over in John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, the calling from the Lord. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. He's teaching them here how when we are acknowledging that Jesus Christ is our shepherd, the one and only true shepherd, never put a man, lift a man up to call your shepherd. We might be hirelings, false shepherds, someone who tries to put himself in a position of being a shepherd, but they are not. Jesus Christ is the one and only shepherd. All of us pastors that are truly following Jesus Christ realize we are servants of the shepherd. We are not shepherds. We direct people to follow the true and living shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, as he tells us here. Anybody comes in any other way and tries to puff themselves up, I am your shepherd, follow me, then they are on the wrong pathway. Don't follow them. Follow Jesus Christ. Don't follow a man. Follow what a man might say when he's saying something that the Lord has said or reading from the Scriptures and telling you that. But always lift Jesus Christ up as the one to follow, to admire, to emulate. Not man or woman. As he continues this parable, as he says in verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The sheep are those that have truly received Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. You don't get pulled away by some false teaching when you listen to the power and the influence of the Holy Ghost that is within you as being a true sheep of the shepherd. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly, that is, eternal, everlasting life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. That calling unto all mankind, because he was speaking to the Jews here, he was letting them know that there are Gentiles out there that will be reached as well, that all mankind is going to have the opportunity. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Drop on down to verse 25, the further words of Jesus Christ. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. When you hear that calling and you follow Jesus Christ, acknowledging Him as the Good Shepherd, as the Lord and Savior, He gives us eternal life in return for that. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And that's awesome encouragement there. Let us know that we have that security once we become one of the Lord's. Once we receive Him and become part of His sheepfold. Over in Matthew chapter 28... He gives us some words of encouragement. Once we become one of His, there's going to be a time when you might feel a little bit overburdened because you have piled so much on, because others may have piled so much on you, because you might think that you have to work your way to heaven as it is being taught so widely. But He addresses this very issue in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's those that are out there that are working so hard to gain salvation through their works. And that's the wrong pathway. You gain salvation by acknowledging the finished work of Jesus Christ. The works that you do after that, well, you'll be rewarded with rewards now and for eternity, but they're not going to give you salvation. So you can work yourself into a frenzy, and He's addressing those that are out there that have done that and are doing that. And He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Once we acknowledge that Jesus has done the hard part, we can relax. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's never going to put more on us than we can handle. He's never going to put us out there to do a task, a job, and that He doesn't give us the tools that we need. The energy, the strength, the motivation, the encouragement, whatever it is that we need, He will give it to us. And He continually is drawing us in, wanting a closer and closer relationship with Him. As He says over in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God. That means to draw close. To come on in a little closer to God. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. When we are listening to that calling and start walking toward the Lord, reaching out for a relationship to be reconciled. That loving, caring relationship where we've been given the blessed opportunity to call the Heavenly Father Daddy and Papa in the name Abba. Abba Father. He's calling out for us, wanting us to have that. Drawing us in. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Well, how do you clean your hands and purify your heart? You get it washed in the blood. Receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He'll clean you from top to bottom. You get messed up and get to walling around in that sin again, get it cleaned again. You take it to the Lord. Lord, forgive me. He gives us that provision in the Scriptures. He's our high priest. He's our mediator. He's our advocate. We don't take that liberty as being an excuse or a chance to just go out there and fulfill your lustful desires that are still within you, even though you're a Christian, and think, well, all I got to do is to hurry up and go back and get washed real quick before Judgment Day. Because you've messed up. You've lost things that you'll never have again. You've lost rewards that you could have enjoyed here. You've lost the testimony that you could have helped someone else, that you would have gained a blessing for. Rewards that you will not see because you went back into your sins. You see this so often. I can go over and just on and on about the poor testimonies that I have seen in so-called Christians in just recent years. Those that claim and those that even participate and those that have positions that then just turn around and go right out into the world and just as worldly and ungodly and then come back and think that they just rejoin and not even consider that there's anything wrong with that. It really makes me wonder if they truly know the Lord or if they're just part of a social club, you might say. Because where's the hardship? Where's the heartache? Where's the dread and the regret when they have done something that they know the Heavenly Father doesn't want them to do? It makes you wonder. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. This was written by James to a group of Christians. And he's calling those Christians sinners because he's speaking to those that are disobedient. You back on up to verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have that power, we have that authority to resist the devil because of the Holy Ghost that is within all of us that have given our lives to the Lord. Tap into that, use that. When those lustful desires start to pull you away, when those distractions in the world start to draw you away. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 through 21, we don't have time to cover it all, but I urge you to read that. And within that, we see the words, we love Him because He first loved us. He loved us first. He came down, took on sin, lived amongst us, died on that cross to give us the opportunity of salvation. Over in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Seeking a relationship with us, at the door knocking. Everyone's going to hear that knock, whether they receive it and acknowledge it or whether they ignore that door as the choice. Eternity in a lake of fire or blessings beyond your wildest imagination for eternity in a home with the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It is so powerful. Encourage us always to dig into Your Scriptures, to find those guidelines, to find those encouragements, and encourage us to share that with others as well. We thank You so much as we pray in Jesus' precious, holy name. Amen.